I just recorded another episode of the Immigrant Entrepreneurs Podcast with my guest Albino Sanchez, and it was such an amazing interview. And it was one of those that the longer it went, the better it became. I told him actually at the end of the interview, I said, "Man, the longer we keep this conversation going, the better it becomes." So we talked about many things. We talked about personal development, how he was burned out and hit rock bottom as an executive in the company that he was working, and, you know, was actually was sent to the hospital, and then how did he decided to change his life and became a serial entrepreneur, not working for anyone else, and started working and building his own businesses, you know. So, and what it takes to get to that point, that not to get to that point that you're hitting rock bottom, but to get to that point that you're now capable of running your dream businesses that are aligned with you. So really, really enjoyed that conversation. I hope you guys get the benefit out of it. And as you know, we do not run ads. We're bootstrapped company, and we actually pay for everything out of our own pocket, and the way you can support us is by subscribing to our YouTube channel, but also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen or watch this content, and share it with other people so we can get the word out and get in front of other people who need to see that, and also change their lives. And as we speak, we're building also the community for immigrant entrepreneurs. For now, it's private. It's by invitation only, because I want to make sure we get the vibe that is needed there. And as we grow, we will open doors and have more people join in and change and impact their lives in a positive way. Thanks for giving us the time, and I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to the Immigrant Entrepreneurs Show, where our mission is to inspire, impact, and influence other immigrant entrepreneurs' life and inspire them to follow their dreams and create the future they desire and want. My guest today is Albino Sanchez, all the way from California. Albino, you are the CEO and the founder of Aha Impact. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ali, for having me. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Thanks for making the time. So, Albino, let's dive into it. You live in California, but that's not where you're originally from. Tell us where you're from and how you ended up in California.
Sure. Well, I was born in Mexico City, and I moved to Palo Alto, California 2 years ago. This was after the pandemic. Many things changed, right, for everyone. And we thought that was a good moment, right after the pandemic was ending, a good moment to move to the U.S. And also something, you know, helped us to do it, which was my wife was relocated by her company, the company she was working for. She's still working for. She was relocated to San Francisco. And so that way we got the visa, and we were able to move. Right. So, yeah. It's been a very interesting journey, and we're really happy to be here, and I'll be happy to share the details on this journey.
Absolutely. We're very excited to hear your story. So you came here, obviously, you know, having your wife and she having all the paperwork in order, that helps definitely with the relocation, but also you're a business owner, you're a businessman. So tell us what it is like when you're relocating and coming somewhere new that you have never lived in before, I assume, what it is like.
Sure. Well, obviously, it's important when you move to a new place to be open, to meet new people, to research, and figure out what is needed and what you are passionate about that you can offer to that community, right? And so that's exactly what I did. I wanted to bring my passions, my talents, and the good news, the good thing is that after the pandemic, everyone, all businesses became, global, and we can, remote work has been now something that everyone does. So that helped me a lot, actually. Yes, I've been a business consultant for many years, and also I'm an executive coach. So this executive coaching, I've been doing it online, and so that helped me. Even though we moved, I could still do my job, and also currently, when we moved, I was a CEO for a software company based in Mexico, but I was working most of it remotely, so I could still work from here, right? So that helped me a lot. The fact that I could work remotely, and that my job didn't require me to be, in person with my clients. So that was like a soft landing for me, right? Mm-hmm. A good soft transition, we could say. But the big changes also started when I decided with the owner of the software company that my cycle has come to the end. Mm-hmm. The company was going to be acquired by other company, and we planned my exit. And so at that moment I realized, hey, now it's time for me to gain all my knowledge, my experiences throughout my career, and pour them into my business, my own business, and which in the past I started a few businesses before, and I have some setbacks and a lot of wisdom that came mm-hmm. from those setbacks, and I wanted to with all those experiences, I wanted now to really what they say, the American dream, right? I wanted mm-hmm. to really create a company that can be really successful, not only in the US but globally. Mm-hmm. And I decided not to create only one company, but I decided to create three companies. I wrote a chapter. I'm a co-author at a book that we just published. The book is called The Cracking the Rich Code. And in that chapter, I describe my journey into becoming a serial entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And the most important part is that I decided to, to be in total alignment with my purpose. And so I did an internal work to find that purpose, so that everything I do was, in total alignment. And what I found with that internal work was that I really, really want to create an impact in people's lives. And I want to do that through executive coaching, through business consulting, and also a part that has been very strong in my life has been sports. Mm-hmm. I used to be a high-performing athlete when I was young. I actually won 2 national water skiing tournaments in Mexico.
Congrats.
Yeah, and then I became a very good paddle player. Paddle is a sport very popular in Mexico and other countries that it's starting to enter to the US. Paddle is a racket sport. It's a combination of squash and tennis. And actually, that's one of my businesses. My business is to bring that new sport to the US. Okay, that's what I'm doing there. So that's totally connected with my passion, with sports, with my talents. And mm-hmm. so I'm really excited to work on that. And I've been working on that for a year now. Mm-hmm. And another business is my executive coaching and consulting business, where I want to transform organizations into a new model, a new management mm-hmm. model. The traditional management model is, the command and control model mm-hmm. where we can see the org chart as a pyramid or a or a triangle, mm-hmm. where the idea behind that is that the ones at the top are the people that are, you know, in authority, the people that can are allowed to think and to give orders, right? And the ones that are at the bottom of the pyramid are the ones that need to follow those orders. And they are soldiers. Not so much, they're the soldiers, right? They are not right. allowed to think, to be creative, to be innovative. Mm. And that's the way most of the companies are still working, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to make a big change with that. And so I've been, you know, partnering with experts that have generated, that have created new frameworks. And we are turning those companies into a new way of managing that's more, you know, it's more aligned with the human spirit, with the human potential. This new model is no longer a pyramid. It is creating cells, small groups of people, mm-hmm. small teams that are, you know, integrated by people from different backgrounds, and that they can have empowerment. They have resources. They can make decisions. They can innovate. They even have they are a business unit, actually, you know, mm-hmm. each one of these cells, and they are not steered by the corporate office. They have autonomy. So mm-hmm. this is amazing. There's some companies that have been doing this, and I want to, you know, replicate this. And so this is, you know, this is the business of coaching and consulting. Mm-hmm. And the third business is in education. This also has to do with my history, with my life. At a young age, I was not sure what I wanted to do out of my life, right? And the only thing I knew that I wanted to be a business owner. That's the only thing I knew. But the other thing I knew was I was very good in sports. Mm-hmm. But you know, I couldn't, you know, see at a young age how could those two aspirations mm-hmm. could, you know, turn into my life, right? So a lot of years passed by, and you know, I'm almost turning 50 in a couple of years, and I'm starting my businesses right now. So mm-hmm. I want to do something with education so that kids at a young age can discover their purpose and can also learn about business, and that they can take their future in their, you know, in their hands, and they can build their future from a very young age. And as I think, you know, schools don't give us that, actually, no? That's something mm-hmm. that we discover, no? Throughout our careers, and mm-hmm. throughout a lot of, you know, mistakes, and you know, and that's the story of my life. And now mm-hmm. I'm, you know, finally putting together all those experiences into three businesses that are in total alignment with my purpose. Mm,
that's amazing. I do have a few questions related to you, what you just described. Let's start with the first, in my opinion, the most important thing that you discovered for yourself. You said, I wanted to find out what is my purpose, and then I did it. How did you find out what your purpose is?
Great question. You know, it's a very internal process. It's not easy, and it's not so quick. This may take years, but now there's some techniques and there's some frameworks that can accelerate that. And so what I did is I enrolled in several, you know, courses online. I worked with coaches. I've always been you know, I have a growth mindset. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the book Mindset, Fixed Mindset and Growth Mindset. You know, mm-hmm. where they say mm-hmm. fixed mindset is where you think that everything is, you know, already fixed and determined, and mm-hmm. and you're maybe a victim of the circumstances, mm-hmm. right? And the growth mindset is where you say, hey, I create my reality, I create my future, and everything I do, if I, you know, is learning and growing, right? So mm-hmm. that's the way I've always been thinking about my life. So I throughout my life, I've been reading a lot, working a lot in my, you know, defining, having clarity, right, about where I'm going and, you know, what I'm learning from my experiences. And, you know, I've been crafting this purpose throughout the years, okay? And, but I had like a revelation, like 3 years ago, where I, you know, I was in a workshop online and the facilitator, you know, asked us some questions and I had like, you know, a revelation and I said, okay, there it is. What I'm passionate about is sports, education, and transforming organizations. Mm-hmm. And I want to transform lives. I love doing it because I've been doing it with my executive coaching. And wow, it was, you know, it's just like a click that happens, but it's, you need to work on it. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's not, you know, like an hour process. It's like several months or years. And, but I would, you know, encourage your listeners that your audience that, you know, start working on that. There's a framework called Ikigai. It's a Japanese methodology mm-hmm. that helps you to define four big questions. What is it that you are good at? Make a list of all the things that you are really good at, right? Then make a list of what you can be paid for. What can you do that the labor market, the market can pay you for that, right? Then make a list of what's needed in the world, you know, what the world needs, okay? And once you do that, you make a list of what you can improve. And once you do that, you start like making cross references, right? Mm-hmm. Until you find that profession that mm-hmm. that really matches everything. And that's helpful. That would be mm-hmm. One way of doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Ikigai.
Yeah, for the audience, maybe for them to envision it or picture it, what it looks like, it's basically you're drawing circles, and the circles that overlap, you find yourself in the middle, and what is left in the middle is the thing or the things that you have to go after and double down on. So that's basically the concept of Ikigai. I'm familiar mm-hmm. with it. I have done it and I really love it. So, and I was also, when I was listening to you, Albino, I resonate with a lot of what you said, because for a couple of reasons, I've been through the same process myself. I have also found out my purpose doing this podcast, right? I never thought of myself being a podcaster, interviewing other people, getting myself in front of camera. And now that I'm doing it, number one, I really enjoy it. Number two, I really love learning. So every time I do it, there is something that I can learn. Number three, I give back a lot because I do believe there is a huge audience out there that is profiting or is benefiting or will benefit in the future from what we share, from what our guests share. And for me, it's also something that I always like to improve myself. I have high standards for everything I do, and I love improving and getting better on the things that I do. So, you know, as you said, it's not an easy process, it's not a super fast process, but in order to be willing to find out what's in there, you have to do the work. There is no shortcut. So thanks for sharing that. Okay, my next question, Albino. When you run three businesses, regardless of how much you're aligned with them, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of, in the beginning, also heavy lifting, you know, that you're doing with the things that you do. Now, how do you do that? How do you run three businesses and without getting overwhelmed and burned out?
Sure. I get that question a lot. And it's not only the three businesses. I also have a family mm-hmm. and I also have my own personal needs, right?
Right.
So, you know, it's important to be in balance, and that's my, you know, priority. And that's one of my core values to be in balance in my life. And, you know, there's, you know, I was telling you about the fixed mindset and the growth mindset.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that think, hey, I'm so overwhelmed with work. There's no way out. That's my, you know, I don't see a solution, or, you know, and you can think like that. And that's like a little, you know, victimizing the situation. And
absolutely.
And I get it. You know, it's difficult. Yes. But if you accept it, you're in trouble, right? But I prefer to go to the growth mindset, where first my core principle is I'm a balanced person. I have a balanced life, and I enjoy each one of my different roles in life, and when I'm in each one of those roles, I'm 100% there. I give my best in each one, and I keep shifting from one to another throughout the day, right? But what's very important is to have very clear priorities, right? To focus on the 80-20 mm-hmm. Pareto rule, right? So if you focus on the 20% that will give you 80% return, then you don't need to spend all day on that, right? And if you also leverage, if you leverage resources, like, for example, I partner a lot with experts. And mm-hmm. so if I'm not an expert in something, I research, I reach out to experts, I establish new relationships, and I give them this some parts of my business that they are very good at. And maybe I share some revenue, okay? But I don't, you know, I don't try to invent things. They are already invented, right? And I try to concentrate on the value I really bring to the table, right? So that would be my advice, and that's something I do in my life. And something that's very, really important is that you are the most important person in your life, mm-hmm. and you need to feed your, quote unquote, yourself first. And for example, something I do is I have a morning routine, which is a 2-hour morning routine where I read, I meditate, I journal, I read my goals, I read my purpose. And that gets me fired up and gives me clarity and gives me focus for my day. And mm-hmm. I can do a lot of different things, but when I'm aligned with my purpose, that makes me just see what's needed. And because mm-hmm. when you don't have clarity, you just fill up with so many activities, and you're not sure if those activities are really going to have a return investment, and you don't feel like fulfilled, etc. Right. So mm-hmm. it's important that you first do that internal work that I was mm-hmm. telling you, so that you can have total clarity and you can really do the 20% of the things that will give you 80% results, so that you don't need to spend that much time on each thing and you can enjoy your life in a more balanced way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That is so true. And you know, one thing that I believe people, or a lot of people, get wrong because also there is so much misinformation on the internet. So I have had guests on the show who have built multi 9-figure companies and exited successfully without having a morning routine, without going to the gym, without doing cold plunges and all these things. And I've had other successful entrepreneurs who have this morning routine. Some of them, as you're saying, 2 hours, some of them 3 hours. I'm someone that likes morning routines, and I'm really sticking to my morning routines. I don't believe there is right or wrong, or you have to do the one in order to be successful at the other. No. It's just what is right for you, right? What is right for you, what makes you feel good. If it's getting up, no breakfast, no coffee, straight to the office and start working, then that's what's working for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I really find it annoying when you have all these gurus that, you know, show up on social media and they try to make one to believe that, oh, you have to do this morning. If you don't do cold plunge, if you don't do this, I do cold plunge. You know, I don't do them every day. I don't do them every week, but I really enjoy and get the benefits. But hey, if you don't do that, that doesn't mean you're not going to be successful. You still can be successful without doing any of this, you know?
Yeah, totally agree. You know, I haven't been doing the morning routine all my life, right? And mm-hmm. you know, I do it for you know, maybe for a month, and then I stop doing it. I come and go, right? It's not something that is totally part of my habits. But what it is that throughout the day, I need to have some ways to liberate stress, some ways to get back on balance, right? Mm-hmm. And the way I do it is to spend quality time with my family, for example. Mm-hmm. For example, to exercise. No? So, for example, when I'm overwhelmed, I go and go for a run, maybe, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. And also, I love learning, so that's something that also recharges my energy. So I mm-hmm. just go hop on YouTube and learn something or read a book, and that's not necessarily a morning routine. I do it whenever I need it throughout the day. So you, as you were saying, you need, each one of us need to find our ways to, you know, to be centered, to feel, you know, charge the energy, right? And mm-hmm. and be aligned to our, you know, to our center, to our balance, to, so that we are at high peak performance.
Absolutely. And what works for you might not work for me or anyone else.
Totally.
You look like someone, or appear to me at least, like someone who is very balanced and very in the middle and very aligned. Was it always like that?
Well, no, it wasn't. I remember, let me share an anecdote, a story. I used to work for a very large company, passenger transportation company, a bus company mm-hmm. in Mexico, one of the largest ones. I created the strategic planning department for them, and I had, you know, 20 people in my team, and I was in charge of the annual strategic planning retreats, you know, with 40 executives. This is a company with 12,000 employees. And so we were there at the offsite, 2 days offsite. I was in charge of everything. And I was really, really stressed because, you know, the previous 3 weeks I've been preparing nonstop, skipping meals, sleeping 3 hours a night, 4 hours. So by the time I was there and in the retreat, you know, I was really, really stressed. And you know, the first day went okay. Everything was going as planned, but you know what, at that night, when I was, you know, preparing for the next day, suddenly I started, you know, feeling dizzy, feeling weak. So they had to take me to the hospital, and I couldn't go the next day. I had to ask someone from my team to take over. And the doctor said that my body was preparing for a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
And so they found cardiac enzymes in my blood. So that was a calling for me. I talked about this with my wife, so we took a couple of days off, and we talked a lot about this, and I realized that, you know, what's life about, right? Is this, mm-hmm. are we working our, you know, ourselves and wearing out just, you know, for what, right? Mm-hmm. There has to be a reason. There has to be a final and mm-hmm. higher purpose. So at that time, my reason was I wanted to get a promotion. I wanted to become a director. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the corporate ladder, right? And we are a lot. We've been there, or we are there. Okay. So, but what's the price? What's the price of doing that and being a workaholic and you know, not taking care of yourself? And I realized that the price was going to be very high. If I die of a heart attack, if my family, you know, my kids, you know, lose their dad, my wife loses her husband. So I said, hey, wait, this is not working. This, I need to make a big change in my life. And from that moment, I decided that I was going to go first. And so I started doing these practices, and I have almost never skipped a meal from that moment. I, you know, I recently turned into a vegan. So I've been, you know, improving. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a long journey, but that's what you see today. And you, hey, I see a balanced mm-hmm. person. Yes, that's something I've been working for years. Mm-hmm. Yes, because at one moment I almost lost my life by being not unbalanced, but being a workaholic. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with Dr. Joe Dispenza or not, but he talks about that a lot. He talks about people that usually, you know, change their lives. They need to hit rock bottom. They need to go really low at some point in their lives that they're like, I'm not taking this any longer. I have to do something about it. It's life threatening. It's, you know, financially really, really bothering, whatever it is. But they usually hit rock bottom and they're like, okay, now I'm changing this. Not a moment longer. I have to go and do it, whatever it takes to change my life for the next phase of my life.
Yeah, totally. And another way to see it is something that Tony Robbins says, is that when do we change important things in our lives? Mm-hmm. When we don't change it when the pain is not big enough, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's an effort that you have to make in order to change that. Mm-hmm. So whenever the pain that you're having for not changing mm-hmm. is less strong than the effort to change, you don't change. Mm-hmm. But whenever the pain of what you're living is bigger than mm-hmm. the effort to change it, once it's bigger, then you decide to jump into doing that effort to change. So mm-hmm. it's interesting that way of seeing things. So yes, when you hit rock bottom, that pain grows, and now the effort to change is more, you know, you see it as, okay, it's better to go there than to stay here because the pain is so big. Yeah.
And when you are in the pain, or I'm sharing about my own life, I don't know about you, mm-hmm. I'm just saying about mm-hmm. When we go through that pain, we hate it. We ask, say, why does it have to be like that? Why? But then looking back, you know, we see, okay, in order to be where we are, in order to get where we are, we have to go through that phase. We have to go through that darkness or whatever we want to call it. We had to experience that in order to pull ourselves out of that situation.
Totally, totally. Yeah. So I totally agree that we need, you know, that's something, pain can be helpful for us, right? That's something I, you know, in my business consulting experience, whenever executives, when we were building a dashboard, okay, mm-hmm. and whenever they had to, you know, we were in a meeting and they had to present the results, and there were some red lights, right, mm-hmm. in those indicators. They were afraid to present the red lights, and they were struggling, and they wanted to turn them into green because wait a moment. What I told them is, hey, those red lights are not your enemies. Those red lights are telling you that there's something that you need to change in the company, right? Mm-hmm. So it's good that we have red lights and that we can open a conversation as a team to see how we all together are going to change the red lights into yellow ones or green ones. So mm-hmm. this is in a business environment, and we've been talking about the personal life, but in the business is the same, right? You measure, huh? You need to have visibility on how those measures are doing. And whenever you have red lights, that's good. That's good because they are giving you feedback, and now you can do something about it. Huh? For example, if you have a condition, a health condition that the doctors haven't diagnosed, that's the worst case scenario, right? Because you don't know what to do. You know what you have. What do you have? You just don't feel right. Huh? So the best thing is to have a good diagnosis and to know what's the red light. And okay, now I know what to do to do something about it. Huh? So we can apply it to business and to our personal life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, I also believe businesses oftentimes exist because they're solving a problem. You know, there is a pain, there is a problem. Now we're solving it, and that becomes a business. in my own right now, you know, the immigrant entrepreneurs started with the idea that being an entrepreneur is a very lonely journey. Also, being an immigrant, going somewhere new is very lonely. So combining the two, it becomes a super lonely journey. Now, how can I solve this problem first for myself, but also for other people? Hey, in creating a community that we get together to support each other and also to do business with each other. That's how the immigrant entrepreneurs idea was born. And that's basically the starting point why we talk on this podcast. We have an influence and impact on the other immigrant entrepreneurs' life. So I do believe that starting a business oftentimes is a solution to a problem that exists out there. You know?
Totally. Go ahead.
Sorry.
In order to add to that idea of being in a lonely journey as an entrepreneur, as an immigrant, you know, I would like to share what I did. When I moved to the U.S., mm-hmm. What I started doing is, you know, I started reaching out to people. How did I do it? You know, I researched for events, no? in the area, right? I started going to events where I could meet other entrepreneurs. So I started, you know, making friends or acquaintances. And mm-hmm. also I enrolled in courses where I could also meet people. I enrolled mm-hmm. in, for example, there's an organization that gathers CEOs. The name mm-hmm. is Vistage.
I know, I'm familiar with Vistage. Excellent. We're not so promoting Vistage on the podcast, guys, but we were both familiar with Vistage.
Yeah, and there's others. But the good thing about it is that you are in a cohort or in a group mm-hmm. with other people that are experiencing similar things. They are also CEOs. Mm-hmm. And you start, you know, interacting and collaborating. And so mm-hmm. that's an idea. There's other courses and cohorts, and I also enrolled in so many others. Also, I looked out for, you know, Mexicans, you know, mm-hmm. people from my same culture mm-hmm. in the area. And so, and they included me in their group and mm-hmm. in their WhatsApp group. And so, yeah, so it's like pulling the thread, no? You start, you know one person, and then that person introduces to another, and also through LinkedIn. So that's a never stop job. Huh? You mm-hmm. need to, you know, reach out constantly to people, and mm-hmm. opportunities start appearing. That's mm-hmm. that's incredible, and that happened to me. You know, I went to Stanford, it's really close to my home, and I went to an event in Stanford for Latin entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. and then there I met a guy that we talked about our businesses, and he liked what I was doing. It turned out that he was doing something very similar in Ecuador, and mm-hmm. so we talked about maybe becoming partners, and he invited me to Ecuador. I went to his see what he was doing. So, you know, and now from there, one of his colleagues is one of my partners in my education company. Mm-hmm. And so just how I decided to go to the event, and that after fast forward, I have a partner with whom I created a company, right? So mm-hmm. that's just an example. Mm-hmm. You create new opportunities every time you open up to new experiences, to other people.
100%. Yeah. And we also have to keep in mind when we go as an immigrant, when we go somewhere new, hey, nobody was waiting for me in the US to come here and now make friends with me. So it's on me to reach out to them, to go and make the effort. Of course, that I also believe I can add value to them in one way or another. But it's on me to take the effort, take the first step, go out there, reach out wherever, you know, whatever, and also start networking. So that's one thing. Another thing, I also believe that immigrants are usually, because they have been through the same experience at some point in their life, they are usually more willing to support. And I'm not saying non-immigrants are not supportive, but immigrants, because they can relate to the journey of being an immigrant, they are very supportive, and the likelihood of them being some sorts of help in your life is way, way higher.
Totally. Yeah. when you reach out to other immigrants, there's a spirit of, you know, hospitality or, you know, collaboration, mm-hmm. where, because we feel, you know, we're experiencing something similar. Some of them all have been, you know, in the country for a long time. So they start, you know, giving you advice, giving you tips. That's very, very helpful. They shorten your learning curve in many things. So yes, I would encourage immigrants to reach out to other immigrants and, mm-hmm. and, you know, there's many benefits on that.
Absolutely.
And also something I did is I reached out to the consulate, of Mexico in San Jose, which is the closest city to where I live. And also that's helpful, you know, to mm-hmm. go to the consulate of your country and, mm-hmm. and they host a lot of events and you can meet a lot of other, you know, people, immigrants from your country.
By the way, we have started a, you know, the community that I talked about, we have started that is very small, is only I'm inviting people for now to get in there. It's growing. We have amazing immigrant entrepreneurs in there. So I will definitely send you an invitation after the call. We would love to have you in there. So my next question for you, Albino, what role did mentors play in your life?
Huge role. You know, my first mentor, believe it or not, was my mother-in-law.
Oh, wow.
That's
awesome.
You know, yeah, I was very young. I was in college mm-hmm. and I was struggling, you know, with my self-esteem, actually. Mm. And also I didn't believe in myself. Strongly, and you know, I came from middle school and high school that was very, very academic, mm-hmm. and I was like, I was an introvert at the time, and so my mother-in-law, you know, helped me to believe in myself. Well, she through a lot of conversations and, you know, a lot of crying, actually, she helped me with that. And And, you know, from being at high school, you know, an average student regarding grades, I went to college and first year, I was top three of the class, right? And that was because someone believed in me, huh? In this case, my mother-in-law. And then I started believing in me and things started to change in my life, right? That's the first step. You need to believe in yourself. And many times a mentor or a coach helps you realize that, helps you realize what's your talent, what's your self-worth, your value. And from there, I've been, you know, reading a lot, listening a lot to audiobooks. So those authors somehow have been my mentors, mm-hmm. and you know, I lived in Mexico City, so you know, there's huge distances, so I spent a lot of time in my car, so I listened to many audiobooks, and later on when I could afford it, I started hiring coaches, right? Mm-hmm. And so I've been having coaches for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. So at one moment that I was determined to have big success in business, I said, hey, I need a lot of help. So I hired one coach, and then I thought, okay, I need something else. So I hired a second coach. And there was one moment where I had three coaches and one therapist at the same time. So yeah, I say, okay, that maybe that's too much, but this has helped me a lot, because you start seeing things differently. That's the main thing that you can get as a benefit from a mentor, from a coach, that they give you feedback, that they open your mind to new possibilities. And that's priceless, because usually we see things from our perspective, and our, you know, alternatives are almost just one or two, right? That's usually our alternatives to make decisions. Mm-hmm. But when you are interacting with a mentor or a coach, they start, you know, asking you questions that you haven't asked yourself before. And that starts shifting your mind, shifting your perspective. And that's so helpful. And that has helped me to really make better decisions. Mm-hmm. And that's how I've decided to become an executive coach. After, you know, having that experience as a coachee, I said, hey, this is life-changing. I want to be a coach and I want to transform life. And actually, I became a coach. I'm a certified coach and I've been coaching for almost 10 years. And I'm proud to say that I have changed lives. So that's something that's very, you know, I feel so happy about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And I also believe that it's very fulfilling that now you get to give back in, of course, you don't do it for free. But now you get to give back to other people and changing life, as you said, and also seeing people doing actually the things that they're meant to do. So, and you know, for people, I also believe that mentors can be YouTube channels. Mentors can come to one through books. We have access to pretty much all the information that we want. You know, okay, if I cannot afford to work with someone, then there is content that they put on YouTube. I go watch their content. When I get to a level that I can work with them now I go work with them. When I get to a level that I can work with private coaches now I completely agree with that is life-changing, because they also get to see the things that we as entrepreneurs, and regardless of the level that we're at, we don't see it. Because we're in the middle of the process, you know, we need sometimes this outside perspective from someone who tells us the things that we don't see ourselves. So completely agreed on that. Yeah. Yes. So usually at what point and at what stage do people come to you that work in your business with you, where you coach or mentor them? Where is it? When do they come and ask for support?
Yes, I serve companies, and I also serve individuals. So individuals that reach out to me are, for example, managers that want to grow in their career, that they want a promotion, or they want to improve their leadership skills, maybe. And so those are typically the type of clients I have there. And regarding organizations, there's, for example, HR departments that want to give support to high potential executives, right? Mm-hmm. So I there's some programs where they match a coach with a coachee so that they can, you know, accelerate their development towards getting a new position, maybe. And or they have identified people that have a high potential, and then I work with the HR department on, you know, what are we going to focus on. And so in corporations or within individuals, I help them basically to overcome their own limiting beliefs, right? So I help them to become much more aware of what's preventing them many times from doing certain things or behaving certain way, so that they can confront those fears. And I use several frameworks, and there's one very interesting framework called positive intelligence, where this framework says that we as humans, we usually throughout the day, we have thousands of thoughts, right? And if we could measure what percentage of those thoughts are positive and what percentage are negative, we would be surprised, because many people, a big percent of those thoughts are negative. And this framework describes those negative thoughts as saboteurs. A saboteur is a negative thought that, you know, holds you back. Right, and it also plays against you. It's your mind is is your enemy. So it's very real. We all have an internal voice, an internal judge that's holding us back, that's criticizing, that's giving up negative feedback. And so, and we restrain ourselves from doing, being bold, from taking risks, from speaking up, from raising our hand, because we have that internal judge, right? Hey, what are others going to think about me if I do this? So we're constantly, you know, having that internal voice. And so this framework helps us to identify what are those saboteurs. There's 10 different saboteurs. No? For example, there's the stickler, people that are, want to do everything so perfect that they're trapped there. No, they don't release something until it's perfect, and that takes them a lot of time. There's the avoider, which they don't confront situations or people, and they procrastinate a lot. There's the restless. No, they can't stop doing things, and they don't relax, and they don't focus on the present time. And there's a list of, you know, 10 different. And so we identify, we apply an assessment, and we identify where the strongest saboteurs that you have, and then we start working on those. And the results are really great, and people start, you know, understanding, being aware on, okay, here comes this saboteur, I know there it is. And now there's a technique, you know, to quiet that voice and to step into your sage. Your sage is your powers of empowerment, how you empower yourself. And there's techniques for that. And this has been wonderful. So that's just one of the frameworks I use, but as an example of how I work with my clients. Yeah.
So do you believe that, by the way, for the audience who might think, okay, what is the saboteur? Saboteur is basically the negative voice in you, in all of us, is holding us back from doing the things that we're capable of. Okay. So let's say saboteur equal negative voice. Do we get rid of them, or do we just, because I do believe we cannot get rid of them, but I do believe we can learn how to deal with them, you know? So what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I've been studying for many years the human mind, and I studied NLP and neuroscience, and now this psychology. So, and what I've learned is that we have the power to control our minds. And that's a growth mindset. I go back to the growth mindset, because there's people that think, hey, no, I'm doomed. My mind has control over me, and there's nothing I can do. Okay, wait a minute. There's techniques, there's way to do it. And whenever you have that internal voice that's holding you back, you need just, first of all, realize that that's happening to you, okay? Once you know that, maybe, you know, I can show you the link so they can take the assessment and they can identify which one of those saboteurs are those strongest ones. Okay, let's share
that. That would be awesome. Yeah, if we can link it in the show notes.
Sure. And so once you see what are your two strongest saboteurs, there's a framework to work on them. And I'll share a little bit about it, which is, okay, you identify, okay, for example, let's say that my saboteur is avoider. Okay. And I tend to avoid situations that are stressful or confrontational, because, you know, it's uncomfortable, and I'm risk averse. So I tend to avoid that. But that what happens is that I procrastinate things. Okay. So I'm starting a business, and we are talking about entrepreneurs. And I'm an introvert, and I have a strong saboteur, which is the avoider. Okay, but what happens is that I need to reach out to people. I need to also to sell my services, so I need to use the phone and start reaching out to people. And that's something very difficult for someone that has a strong avoider saboteur, right? And so, once you realize, hey, I'm not going to call, and you start making excuses, right? I'm not going to call because it's lunch time. And then I'm not going to call because it's too late. I'm not going to call. So that's what we keep on doing. And so when you catch yourself doing that, you just when you have to tell that voice, hey, stop mm-hmm. right there. I know that you want to sabotage me. And what you do is to, at that moment, you do what the founder of Positive Intelligence, Shirzad Shamin, says. You need to do PQ reps. PQ is Positive Intelligence Quotient. Reps is like in the gym. You do reps mm-hmm. with the, okay. There's some exercises to ground you in the present moment. For example, you could, for example, close your eyes and start rubbing your fingers against each other so that you are very aware with your senses that you're mm-hmm. here at this moment. And so when you do that, it's like when you're playing soccer or something, your mind is not thinking about your saboteurs, right? It disappears because you are totally in the game, right? Mm-hmm. It's something similar, but in a very simple way. You can do it rubbing your fingers. You can close your eyes and breathe. And or you can open your eyes and see something with a big detail. Just start, mm-hmm. Analyzing any mm-hmm. object with big detail. And when you do that, you liberate yourself from that voice because you stop listening to that voice. And then the next step is to turn into, go into action, right? You mm-hmm. just do what you know you have to do. And there's also a technique to find your sage, which is what's going to empower you. So you can use creativity. You can see this thing as a gift. For example, mm-hmm. what's the gift on calling people? Okay, the gift may be that I can help them, right? So you stop seeing this as a stressful situation and you turn this thing around and you see this as something that's going to be enjoyable. You're going to, meet someone new. You're going to open possibilities for your life. So you start seeing things that are helpful. You're going to get a benefit from this and you're going to enjoy the moment. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you shift your mm-hmm. mind because our fears are created by ourselves in our minds. Mm-hmm. Okay. But so you can use the same process to empower yourself. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's in a nutshell, that's how this works. And mm-hmm. and then you do your PQ reps, you shift the way you see a situation and you go right into the action. Mm-hmm. And this is very helpful.
Thanks for sharing that. I also believe that our saboteurs can also be sometimes people around us, people that are coming actually from a good place because they want to protect us from danger. That could be our family and loved ones that are closer to us than anyone else, because they want to protect us from something that they think it could be a threat. They tell us the things, hey, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do this. You don't want to go there. Because if you do this and you do that, then you might face this situation. This might happen to you. This is also something that we realize the more self-aware we are, the more we get to know ourselves, the more we realize, oh, okay, this person is telling me this, but it's actually not the truth, because this person is coming from a loving place who wants to protect me from the things that might be outside, that might be a threat, because they believe it is going to be a threat. What do you think about that?
Totally. They may have the best intentions, but mm-hmm. they have a different perspective than yours, right? And they don't have your purpose. They don't have your talents. They don't have your perspective, your experience, your background. So, okay, they may give you advice. They may be close to you and they may, this advice comes from the love they have to you. But you know what? They are not experiencing what you're experiencing. And mm-hmm. and you need to start, believing in that gut feeling, right? Mm-hmm. In that self-worth and that purpose that you have worked on, hopefully. And follow your calling. Follow, because, the big successes come from being bold and doing mm-hmm. things differently. And at the moment, many people would obviously told those successful people at that one moment, hey, you're crazy. No? Mm-hmm. Don't do that. No? And they mm-hmm. love them, right? But if they have heard them, they wouldn't be where they are, right? So you need to hear your internal sage, your the positive voice, your purpose, your and go all in. And yes, you can listen to those voices, but you just, you know, take them into consideration. But the last decision and the last voice that you, the first voice you need to listen is your, is your internal voice. So that and don't, because if you, you always play it safe and you always, you know, go with where the wind blows,
right,
you won't get anywhere, right?
Absolutely.
That I've been there also. I've been playing safe for many years until I said, hey, you know what, I'll start three businesses in another country, and you know, I need to fulfill my purpose, and this is a way I feel like doing it. It feels right, and I'll go all in, and this is my style, this is my way. And many people say, hey, how can you do so many things at the same time? You're gonna get crazy. You know what? No, I'm in balance. I'm happy with my life, and I'll make this happen.
That's amazing, Albino. This is a conversation that the longer it goes, I feel the better it gets, and I could go for so much longer, but I also want to respect your time, and I am respecting your time. So it's been a pleasure talking to you, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really enjoyed this conversation. And so tell us where people can find you. We will definitely link you up in the show notes. But yeah, just give our audience an idea where they can find and connect with you.
Sure. The best way is through LinkedIn. This is LinkedIn/IN/AlbinoSanchez. Albino is ALBINO. So look out for me in LinkedIn, Albino Sanchez. And there, in my LinkedIn, there's links to all of my businesses. There's links to we're going to put the link to the assessment in your podcast, and there you can also have the link for my website. My website is www.ahaimpact.com. Aha is AHA impact.com. And the reason I named it Aha Impact is because in everything I do in my businesses, I want to create this new perspective, this aha moment, and then create an impact in the lives of my customers, of my clients. That's why. All right.
Thank you so much. I do believe and I hope that our audience gets an aha moment, maybe more than one aha moment from this episode. So once again, thank you for coming on the show. I really enjoyed, and I do hope that our conversation was a benefit to our audience. Once again, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was fun as well, and I see you soon again. Thank you so much.
Thank you.